the McDonald's Viking Trail Ball Podcast, presented by McDonald's of Jackson, Wellston, Oak Hill, and now proudly in MacArthur. McDonald's and Viking basketball. I'm loving it. The Viking Round Ball Podcast with head coach Matt Combs is your weekly look inside Vinton County Vikings basketball. Stand by for recaps and previews of all of this week's Viking action, plus scores, stats, guest interviews, and more. Now broadcasting across the World Wide Web.
From a padded room in his basement.
Alongside the head coach of the Vikings, Matt Combs, here's your host, Carl Knox.
And welcome to another edition of the Viking Roundball Podcast, taping this on Monday, January the 15th. It's episode 85. 85, coach. Remember that.
That's big time.
No, I got in big trouble last week.
What was that?
I billed the podcast as episode 83.
Oh.
It was 84.
Yeah.
I got fined, reprimanded. I got in big trouble by the executive brass. Nonetheless, alongside the head coach of the Vinton County Vikings, Matt Combs, I'm Carl Knox. The podcast brought to you by McDonald's. McDonald's in MacArthur, Jackson, Oak Hill, and Wellston. Whether it's before or after the game, McDonald's and high school sports go hand in hand. McDonald's. I'm loving it. Hopefully you're loving this lovely, lovely winter weather.
Very, very basketball friendly winter weather.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's great if you like falling on your butt, spending eternity in the house.
Yeah.
Yeah, all that stuff. I'm ready for spring.
I hear you.
How could you like winter?
I've never been a winter guy, man. My wife will tell you that, you know, she likes it a little bit, but it's like, you know, in Ohio, it seems like you either don't get it at all or get it all the time.
Yeah,
there's no there's no happy medium really there.
It's kind of like in that extended forecast, and I think if we can make it through the next, I don't know, 2-3 days,
yeah,
got a big warm, like 2 weeks of above freezing pretty much every day.
Right.
Now, you know that's subject to change.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, but we could use it now to make sure we don't have any more cancellations. I know on the girls' side, we are about 3 or 4 games in the hole right now, trying to catch up, including, you know, tonight we were supposed to have a girls game at Crooksville. Of course, that got canceled.
Right.
So we need a little stretch where we can play a little bit.
And you guys have had the Miami Trace from last Friday night. That's been rescheduled for Tuesday, February the 13th.
Right.
A 5:30 start. No freshman game, by the way. That's just JV goes at 5:30.
Yeah, I mean, that last week of the season, freshmen are usually in their freshman tournament anyway.
Right.
So, you know, a lot of times they're playing 2 or 3 times that week to begin with. And with Miami Trace traveling on a weeknight, we just thought, you know, we'll just go JV only. Or JV, no freshmen, just JV and varsity. So.
Okay. Well, we're kind of in this series with, we got on this topic, and you've kind of been kicking this around for quite a while about youth basketball, how it affects the high school ranks, what you like, what you don't like. You know, how various school districts things kind of change,
right.
Little different places, you know, for the good and for the bad. And we had this big guest lined up. We're going to get him.
Right.
We're going to get him. Now, that being said, I'll just go ahead and tell you who it is.
Right.
It's Don Showalter. Now, a lot of you people might not know that name. Don Showalter is the director of 16 and under youth basketball for the USA basketball program,
right.
The entire national youth gig. He's the big guy.
Right.
He also has like 42 years of coaching experience. I think he was in Iowa. Had a real good record, like 600-700 wins.
Was he the one that coached Harrison Barnes?
Yes.
Yeah, that played at North Carolina and then now plays or was playing for Golden State, right?
He's had several kids go to the pro ranks.
And you're talking about a guy who, like you say, is in charge of all of that for the entire USA basketball program, which, you know, the USA basketball takes that very seriously.
You know,
the development of talent at the younger levels, which, you know, I know he'll talk about, but I know there's it's kind of like the old arms race, right? You're trying to keep up because European, you know, they have their own way of developing youth basketball, and we're trying to make sure we're doing it the right way.
And to that point, that's kind of, you know, he gave us a verbal yes, I'll do an interview with you. We tried to get it lined up today. Unfortunately, last week he was in Spain,
right,
doing a Euroclinic. And then he had his unfortunately his mother-in-law passed, so he had some, you know, family issues. And then today he was doing a some sort of Martin Luther King big, you know, high-end high school tournament type thing he was had to appear at. So
right.
We will get him on. However, we have a guest that we've had before, but we brought in because I've already talked to him today. I'm excited to do this because he's a good friend of mine. Earl Thomas, who's a retired basketball coach, 27 years in the college coaching ranks. He's also worked as an NBA officials consultant for the NBA. And he's also a retired communications professor at the University of Rio Grande. Now, that being said, you're saying, how does that tie into the youth end of it? Earl did a lot. I mean, probably not just hundreds, maybe thousands of camps over his career of
right.
dealing with youth basketball. So he sees things not only in the perspective as a collegiate coach, but also he's seen all kinds of kids come and go to summer camps. He's seen it all, and now he's a grandparent and has a grandson playing. So
yeah.
thought I would be, you know, see things through his eyes. We'll get to him in a little bit. However, we do have some. We only have one game to talk about because obviously we were canceled this past Friday night.
Right.
But last Tuesday, January the 9th, you had a road trip over at the McAfee Gymnasium over in Athens to take care or to take on Athens. You come out of that with a 73-62 win. Jake Speakman leads the team with 27 points. Nayland and Nevin Yates both 17 each for the Vikings, and Bryce Dameron has 8. Eli Chubb leads Athens with 16. Pretty touch and go early in the first quarter. Kind of a one of those games in the first, I'd say, first quarter and a half. It was pretty much you guys had a lead. It was a slim lead, and then you went on a really nice, I don't know, it was a 14-2 or 12-2 run right before half.
Right.
Just your thoughts on that game.
Well, I mean, I thought early on we just weren't making shots. You know, I thought we were getting pretty good shots early, just, you know, but most of them were from the perimeter. Maybe we weren't, you know, looking to attack enough, settling for the three-pointer, but we just didn't make a lot of shots right at the beginning. And it, like you say, it was sort of just a back and forth kind of low scoring thing. And then, you know, Nevin got us going, honestly.
Yep.
Nevin Yates hit a couple outside shots when everybody else seemed to be struggling a little bit. We had sort of a bizarre foul situation with Jake Speakman where there was a foul called early on him, but it was given to somebody else. So Jake was playing, and then all of a sudden, about 6 minutes after the foul was committed, the official came over to me and said, oh, by the way, we corrected that. That foul was on number 4. So
right.
I had Jake out there basically with 2 fouls. Thank goodness he didn't pick up another one, but I had to sit him a while. And I thought, you know, during that stretch, Nevin and Nayland both kind of got us going a little bit. And then when Jake was able to get back in there, you know, he did a nice job of breaking down the defense, because a lot of those points Jake got were from the free throw line. I'm sure you may have that. I know as a team we shot really, really well from the line the other night, but which always helps. But I know Jake ended up shooting a lot of free throws, just being able to get into the teeth of that defense and the teeth of that zone.
Yeah, you guys from the field, you were 22 of 49 for 45%, and then from the line, this probably had to be the best game from the charity stripe you guys have had all year. You were 22 of 27 for 81%, and I don't have the exact number, but a lot of those, I don't know what of the 27 Jake had. I think the majority of those obviously came.
I think
in the
somebody
second.
Told me he was. Gosh, I hate to say this.
He was 15 or 16.
But it was 14 or so.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, he made so half his points basically, you know, were able to come from the line. And he did a good job getting into the heart of that zone and getting to the basket, and that creates for other people too. So I was pleased defensively, other than a little bit of a breakdown in the third quarter where we lost some shooters. And you mentioned Eli Chubb, he got 16 points. He was able to find his mark there in the third quarter mm-hmm. when we lost him a couple times, knocked down a couple shots on us. When you let a shooter get going, I thought that really helped him, because I bet most of those 16 points for him were in the second half, so he really got it going.
Yeah, I think defensively there were a lot of breakdown. Not a lot, but there were more than you would care to see there. In the third quarter, I think you guys, you know, Jake obviously made a good effort of getting to the rack and drawing the fouls and getting them into some foul issues. However, on the opposite end of the court defensively, You guys, I just thought you weren't switching off in picks, and your guys, some of our guys were getting a little lost out there, giving Chubb as well as some of their other players some open looks. Also, right. Cozart had he had a couple trays there in the second half, and yeah. It's kind of like one of those games that you had it in hand, but you just couldn't get the dagger in, so to speak, and they just kept lingering and lingering, and then in the fourth quarter you kind of pulled away for the win. And with that win, you guys improved to 7-4 overall, 5-1 in the TVC Ohio. And anytime you can get a road win in the league, that's a feather in your cap. So right. Something you had to be proud of. And then also the other thing, and Athens was dealing with it as well, and you've talked about it ad nauseum over the past, is when and you know, we weren't in school. What day did we go to school last week? It's like it was Thursday.
You know, you got to figure we were out of school
during near 2 weeks.
5 days. I think we went back on Wednesday, right? We missed.
Yeah.
We were supposed to go back on a Wednesday and didn't go back till the next Wednesday.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, so, you know, you look and you look at that, and we weren't in school that game you're talking about. Neither was Athens.
Right. So it fixed
out of rhythm, and then we go for a couple days, and then early dismissal Friday, and here you go again. So, I talked to our guys about it. It's funny you bring it up. I talked to our guys about it yesterday. That was my number one thing I talked about going into this week.
This is last night, Sunday night practice.
It's just, look, because we didn't have practice Friday. We didn't have practice Saturday. We're finally able to get together a little bit yesterday. And I said, you know, I know it sounds cliche, but you got to control what you can control. I mean, it's easier said than done, because you sit around and you think, daggone it, you know, I want to play, or how does this affect us not playing tonight and having to make this game up later in the year? And how does this affect the league? Or how does this affect, you know, all these things? At the end of the day, you can't control it, you know. No. All you can do is just, when you're at practice, try to get better. You know, I told him we're going to get ready for Zane Trace. Hopefully we play. If that gets canceled, we'll get ready for River Valley. You know, it's just one game at a time. We're just going to keep getting ready for the next guy. But that's all you can do. It's tough. It's easy to say. It's hard to do it. Because even as coaches, and I've been through this a lot, you sit around thinking, daggone. I mean, you know, we've been playing halfway decent, and we get a cancellation, you know, and then all of a sudden, does that throw us off? You think about some of those things, but at the end of the day, just nothing you can do.
Well, I mean, you're kind of sort of quasi an adult. Now, let's put it in the mind of a kid. I use that term.
If you ask my wife.
I use that term very loosely, but nonetheless, you know, and with that being said, you know, you get teenagers that they know there's not going to be school. They're canceling school right. in the afternoon for the next day. So what does a teenager do? They stay up till 2 o'clock in the morning watching TV, and
it's like, you get out of rhythm, right?
Yeah, my daughter made the comment whatever day it was, we knew you were going back to school, and she's like, "Wow, I've been staying up to like 2 or 3 in the morning watching TV and getting up at noon. It's going to be kind of tough to wake up tomorrow." And I'm like, "Yeah, you kind of got to deal with that, you know." So, you know, it does translate to, you know, it's kind of a, I don't know, when you have these games, when weather's like this, it's, you just don't know what you're getting. And I understand as a coach, you kind of sit around and just worry about those things.
But
at any rate, a win's a win. 7-4, that is good. Magic would like that. But and we've got some games coming up tomorrow night, January 16th, that are scheduled for now. Got Zane Trace, which will be a dandy.
Yeah.
Great, great defensive team over there. I think they lead the SVC right now, only allowing like something like 37 points a game.
Yeah.
They have the best conference defensive overall totals there in the SVC. But we'll talk about that game as well as what we got River Valley coming up.
Yeah, River Valley Friday.
River Valley Friday on the
that's
a home game. And then we got Athens coming up at home next Tuesday.
Yeah, it was supposed to be a 4-game road stand. It's 3 now, with Miami Trace being pushed back to later. And hopefully, you know, hopefully we'll get tomorrow night in. I know Zane Trace, I talked to their AD today. They don't have a rule that says no school, no play. So that's in our favor. You know, a lot of, you know, we've talked about this in the past about cancellations. And obviously this past weekend, I think everybody agrees there was no way around it. You know what I mean? It was a mess. But there's a lot that goes into that. Parking lots have to be cleaned off. I talked to one AD today that said they may not be able to play their game tonight. They were trying to play a makeup game tonight because their parking lot wasn't cleaned off. You know, and if you don't get, you know, if you don't have the right personnel, manpower to get that done in a timely fashion, that affects you. And I know all you got to do is look at these roads and look at the parking lots. The ones that did get scraped and cleaned, it's pretty hard to get all the ice off of them. you know, so they're still a little dangerous and a little tough. So I think a lot of that goes into these cancellations, and unfortunately you just never know. So we're going to hope that we play tomorrow night. We're going to get ready for it today like we are, and like I said, you know, can't control it, just hope for the best.
Okay, coming up next, we'll talk to Earl Thomas, his take on youth basketball, not just in southeastern Ohio, but nationally. He's seen it from all different angles. Coach Earl Thomas, as the Viking Roundball Podcast rolls on. Back on the Viking Roundball Podcast, presented by McDonald's. McDonald's and MacArthur, Jackson, Oak Hill, and Wellston. Whether it's before or after the game, McDonald's and high school sports, they go hand in hand. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Episode 85 of The Big Show. Alongside the head coach of the Vinton County Vikings, Matt Combs, I'm Carl Knox. As we get into our guest segment for this episode, talking youth sports and all the things that youth sports bring, it seems to be something that pretty much everyone has an opinion on or has been through in some capacity or another. And happy to welcome back, actually had him before, talking about mainly his coaching career. A guy who's been around the hardwood a time or two. He has 27 years coaching on the NAIA or Division NCAA Division II level. He's also a former professor of communications at the University of Rio Grande. Earl, are you still working with the NBA? Are you still consulting with them?
Not as much as I was. The whole structure of that changed over the last couple of years, but. I still did a little work with Ronnie Gerritsen and Coast to Coast Camp a few years ago. It's not in an official capacity anymore where I'm going to camps every year, but I still stay fairly close to some of the guys.
Right. And as I kind of ask his opinion, our guest, Coach Earl Thomas, former coach at University of Rio Grande, and he's also, in being a collegiate coach, in the 27 years, how many of those years were you the head coach at Rio Grande?
Nine.
And the other were all as an assistant under Coach John Lawhorn. And I don't even, there was another coach you worked under as well?
No, just John.
Just John, okay.
Yes.
Just out of the blue, how many summer camps at Rio Grande did you probably work in those 27 years on staff down there?
We probably averaged six or seven camps a summer.
With an average of how many kids per camp?
That it depends on the year. When we first started, Carl, it was, and I'm sure Coach Combs remembers this, it was primarily fundamentals camps.
Right.
Where kids would come down for 5 or 6 days and work primarily on fundamentals and drills. And then those started to fade away and turned into more team camps and shootouts. And right now, and I would say Coach would probably verify this, it's difficult to find very many fundamentals camps. Kids simply want to go play. They want to compete against other teams. They really don't want to get into the kind of grind that they used to have with fundamentals camps. So, you know, over the 27 or 28 years we ran camps, they really changed significantly.
Yeah, Coach, thanks for being on, by the way. It's good talking to you again. I got to be honest, I'd rather be shooting the breeze on the golf course, but, you know, we'll take what we can get here in the dead of winter.
Not in this weather.
You know, it's great that you just said that, because it sort of leads into the youth discussion talk a little bit. You know, you had mentioned that, and you're right, when I was a player growing up, I would go to an instructional camps every year. You know, my parents would send me either to down to OU, because we had some family down there I'd stay with, and go over to Athens to their camps. And I remember going to Blue Chip basketball camp in Kentucky, and, you know, and all those camps. And I listen to a lot of podcasts, and you'll hear some of these coaches, a lot of these big time college coaches got their starts at places like Five Star Camp and places like that, that even with the elite players, they were working on skills. You know, they weren't there to play. I mean, they were bringing in the best players in the country and they were drilling them. You know, they were.
Well, and I can remember even as a young assistant, when we had our fundamentals camps, we would have local high school coaches come down to work those camps.
Yeah.
And then one of the things we would do at night after the kids went to bed was we'd go into a classroom and we'd sit next to them until maybe 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. You know, give us your best sideline OB, give us your best quick hitter.
Right.
How do you rotate in your zone? Full court pressure. And, you know, you talk to a lot of older coaches. We probably learned as much basketball from picking each other's brains in those sessions than we did at any other time. And I think it's really sad that I don't hear much of that going on now.
Well, and, you know, I think, and no, you're right, and it is bad. I mean, just what you're telling me right there to a basketball nerd like me sounds really, really fun. I'd love to sit around and do that. But I think, unfortunately, what's happened a little bit, and I'd like to get your opinion on it, is with the changes to rules, because when I was in school, you know, if you weren't allowed to play with your teammates in the summer outside of maybe if you were at a camp, they had two of you on a team. You know, you had to split it up. I don't know if you remember the days where you could only have two kids from one high school when you did play games. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You had to split them all up. And so now, you know, they made the rules there probably, I'm guessing, probably 93, 94-ish. They made the rule where you're allowed to start having 10 days and play team stuff. And I think high school coaches felt like, well, if I don't do this, I'm falling behind another coach that does. And I think the colleges started saying, man, if we don't provide these shootouts and team camps, we're not going to make our money in the summer, because that's what these coaches are. That's what's in demand right now. And it's almost like the rule changes almost messed everything up a little bit, because it caused an attitude shift or a shift in procedure, I guess, or the way we do things in the summertime.
I don't think there's any question about it. And I think, Carl, it was one of those situations where the rules were put in with great intentions in order to keep some maybe overzealous coaches from keeping their teams together and playing constantly during the summer. So in order to protect that, they put those rules in, and now suddenly it's had some unintended consequences. And it's difficult to know exactly where the balance is on that. But I really would like, for the kids' sakes, to get back to more fundamental camps. You guys watch a lot of high school basketball too, and you see kids now that fundamentally just aren't very sound. And it really creates problems when they go to college and they don't have that fundamental background that they used to have. And all of a sudden, they may have been the best athlete in their school or in their conference. And now you go to the college level and they're just another kid. And they don't have the fundamental skills to survive. So I think we've set up a situation where we've really kind of cheated our kids.
Well, and I'll take that. Not sorry, Carl. I know I just pointed at you to go, but I won't. Sorry to interrupt you. I'll take it one more time, and then I'll let Carl ask you a couple questions. I'm hogging the mic here, but I as a high school coach, what's tough too is when you do want to really work with kids in the off season and work with fundamentals, you're limited in what you're allowed to do. You know, now the OHSA has started this four-man workout rule where they'll let us work out four kids at a time, which is good. You know, I think that's good, because I think, and again, the rules are intended for the right reason, because, you know, some coaches would run practice all year long, you know, and never give kids a break, and that can
absolutely
and that's not good, and it you know, makes for a competitive imbalance, because some schools can't get away with that, some schools would, and all that. So I get it, but I think there are high school coaches that would really just like to dig in the summertime. I know I'm one of them. I'd like to play a few less games and just dig in and do some fundamental work, you know, and maybe with this 4-man workout, we can do a little more of that. But yeah, you're right. I mean, I agree 100%. I think the game's bigger, faster, stronger, more athletic than it's ever been, and probably fun to watch, but the skill level's down a little bit.
No question. And I apologize. I thought I was talking to Carl. You guys have been together so long, you said.
Oh, yeah.
Don't insult me like that, please.
Yeah, you know what? You came up through the ranks, and you can remember when you were coming up going to some of those camps, and you just got drilled the fundamental skills of jump stops and how to feed the post and all of those things. And Consequently, you were much sounder fundamentally probably than a lot of kids who play a lot more basketball today, but really don't know how to set screens or come off screens.
Yes,
and it's really sad.
Yeah, you're right.
Well,
really,
you know, to that point, Earl, you know, with your background, and then you mentioned when I texted you yesterday that you called me back later because you were at your 12-year-old grandson's. You were at his game, and I didn't realize how old your grandson was, but now 12-year-old, he's playing Little League, and obviously I'm sure just proud grandfather, and you're getting to kind of get your feet wet again, going back to elementary school gyms and all that. And I'm not asking you to throw darts towards whatever school district your grandson goes to, but you've been around this on so many different levels for so long. When we talk about youth basketball and the in-district programs that each school district tries to put together to a varying level, and then with that, you see these travel teams. Just some quick questions. What is your overall opinion, what would be, with your background, some things that you would like to see and not like to see on the Little League travel that level?
I really, at that age, I'm not a big proponent of the travel teams. And again, I think it's something that's well-intended,
uh-huh,
but has now gotten completely out of hand, where you have coaches without a very solid background, and they're trying to recruit kids to go play in tournaments, and they're more concerned about winning and losing than they are teaching fundamentals.
Or maybe they don't know fundamentals.
And a lot of it is they don't know fundamentals. Now, a lot of them think they do. but you know, they really don't. I mean, I could think I know a little bit about soccer, too. I don't know anything about soccer. But, you know, what I see is it's really burning kids out. It's creating a lot of difficult situations in the communities. And oftentimes, you know, some of it I think is created by oftentimes boards of education not allowing the high school coaches to run the programs from top to bottom, where coaches can say, no, here's what you're going to do in this system. Here's the offense you're going to run. Here's what you're going to do defensively. It's just left to people from the outside. And far too often, parents get involved, and then it becomes a real negative.
What would be quick question? What's your opinion of running a lot of zone? Because I remember when my daughter was in the travel, you know, that environment, and we would go to whatever school district, and she only played travel 1 year, and you'd go up against a team, and they would set in a 2-3 zone. And it was just like, I would rather watch paint dry at that level than watch fifth and sixth grade kids or fourth grade, you know, whatever. What would be your opinion of when you see a lot of these Little League teams that's all they do?
I think they should be banned. You know, you talk to most college coaches and a lot of high school coaches, and they'll tell you that they hate to see zones. First of all, you cannot play good zone defense until you understand man-to-man principles.
Yes.
So, you know, you throw kids in zone, and that's just kind of a lazy way to say, all right, we're just going to stand with our knees locked and our hands up and force somebody to shoot from the outside. You may win some games as a fourth and fifth grader, but you're not teaching kids anything. And you know what? I've yet to see, in all my years of coaching at the college level, I've yet to see a college coach go into a kid's home in high school that he was recruiting,
uh-huh,
and ask him what his record was as a fourth grader.
Yeah.
Good point.
Well, and I
just don't think, you know, parents get so carried away about, you know, Matt knows this. You'll have coaches who say, boy, we went 27-2 this summer. We were really good. Well, who cares?
Yeah.
Nobody asks you at the end of the year what your summer record was.
Exactly.
You need to take kids and let them get their butts kicked once in a while to learn. learn how to lose and to learn that there are better teams out there. Force them to play man-to-man and develop those skills in the summer. By the time you get into practice in October, it's too late.
No, I agree 100% about that. I know it's something we've tried to, you know, a lot of the best teams we've had here, we've gotten our butt kicked most of the summer because we try to throw them to the wolves a little bit, you know, and get them better. But now you mentioned something we talked about last week when we had my brother on talking about youth sports and at how it affects the high school level. You had mentioned, you know, coaches, the varsity coaches maybe not being able to have their hands on it as much anymore. And I think there's a few reasons for that we talked about last week. But ultimately, when that has happened, you know, like you mentioned, you know, some outside groups kind of get a hold of it. And you know, we've been fortunate here at Vinton County that we've had the same guy running it for a long time. He's done a nice job. But if you get in a situation where you have just whoever grabbing it this year and running with it, maybe 2 years down the road, somebody else is running the program, you know. And what happens is you don't get a lot of consistency and you just get, I hate to say renegade, but sometimes you could get that. You know, you get some of these guys just, hey, we're going to do it this way. We don't really care what the varsity coach thinks. And
exactly.
And the other thing that's tricky about this too that I don't think people realize is when something's not getting ran the right way, you may not see the negative effects of that for quite a few years. You know, because I know one school in particular that I would never name anybody on here, but I know a school that had a dynamic youth program and it got put into a different direction. Well, if you look at this program right now, you're not seeing any negative effects. They still have a good high school program, but I would venture to say, give it 7, 8, 9, 10 years, because when you start doing it in the third, fourth grade, you won't see those negative effects until those kids get to high school. And I know right now, we talked about this last week in the Scioto Valley Conference over in Ross County, there are 4 teams right now that don't have a freshman team. And guess what? 10 years ago was about when they started travel teams. They started being in travel leagues instead of school leagues. And look what's happened. 10 years down the road, you don't have freshman teams. So sometimes it takes a while to reap what you sow, I guess.
There's no question. And if you go on and look at the data, the youth participation rate in sports in this country is steadily declining.
Right.
And that's part of the reason for that. And I would just mention, yes, you've been around this area a long time. And I'll just go ahead and mention some names. But you know the programs that are consistently good year in and year out. You go to the Norm Pearsons, the Rick Van Meters, the Jim Osbornes, all of those coaches down through the years, the Gary Kellogg's, people who put in systems into their program where they ran things from the youth level up. Those were the programs that won every year.
Right.
Now, you would have some others hit and miss who would have good years, but you didn't have that kind of consistency year in, year out. I mean, it's, you know, it's not rocket science. You've got to develop it from the ground up.
Some good points, and we could go on with this for quite a while. We didn't get to spend any time on the golf course last year, Coach.
We didn't.
You know, and I'm just saying that, you know, would you get me into an NBA game or something like that? And we talked about getting some of your NBA buddies that I've had the pleasure of meeting and giving money to on the golf course, unfortunately. But we need to get that tradition going again. You know, the coach over here, he had a little medical situation a couple years ago, which we don't know if he was faking it or not, but he's bounced back and he's still his you know, competitive self out there. I'm assuming, Ozzie, Coach Osborne, you're still mentoring him on the golf course as well now, when weather permits.
Oz is still playing. I don't know that you could consider me mentoring him.
Well, I know you try.
I try. Yeah, I have been very successful. But we actually, I talked to both Joe and JB DeRosa several months ago, and we talked about getting together and going to Westfield or maybe going up around Canton someplace to one of their courses and playing. And both of them are interested in doing that. So when the weather breaks, we'll have to see if we can get together.
We'll have to do that. And we'll, you know, what was it, 2 years ago when JB got married? Was that? Yeah.
Yes.
2 years ago, me, you, JB, his father, Joe, Bill Kennedy, who's an NBA ref, Ron Garrison, very successful, Andy Nagy, who's one of JB's, I mean, a whole bunch of them, into Canton for JB's wedding, had a great time. And unfortunately, I don't think, that was the summer that you were sick.
Yeah.
We're going to have to get Combs and some of our Vinton County mafia in here, and we'll all of us get together up north and go at it. Of course, Joe orchestrated that whole day of golf, and our team got screwed there, but what do you expect from an NBA ref?
Well, one of the things when DeRosa is involved is he's probably going to take control.
Oh, he's the alpha dog. Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, there's no question. He's going to be the crew chief no matter who he works with.
Well, absolutely. He made no bones about it.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the reasons our foursome teed off before his. Yeah, that's just in hindsight kind of struck me. But
I think that's true. He's going to set the rules.
Okay.
Well, it would be good, and maybe we can get Pat Freer down from Minnesota. You know, we looked at trying to find a weekend last year, and we just weren't able to set it around his schedule with working with the NBA and so on. But if we get started on it early, we should be able to pull that.
I think if we could have Matt get to spend some time around these NBA officials, he would see a side of officiating that they're an interesting bunch of guys.
I'd love sitting and listening, man. So it'd be long.
They're very professional, but they have opinions. Take their work extremely seriously. But the night that I was fortunate enough to go to an NBA game, what was that? The Cavs and the Warriors. I'm Cleveland, and then hang out. Go watch the game, and we were sitting in the official seats. And then after the game, of course, Earl knows these guys very well. The entire crew, which was Bennett DeSalvatore, I think he's retired now, John Goble and Pat, we all sat in a lounge and had a lengthy conversation. And that's an interesting profession. What those guys do is just, it sounds great, but they spend a lot of time by themselves. They obviously spend a lot of time traveling.
Sure.
And they are very highly scrutinized on every call they make. And they're good at what they do. But at any rate, listen, really, really do appreciate taking time out of your schedule. Glad to see you're not in Aruba this week. I know that's usually you're down there at least, once a month?
Well, I wish.
Okay.
We made it down 3 times last year. So that was a good year.
Okay. Well, now that you're officially retired, not only in the coaching ranks, but also as a professor, and you're just kind of riding Annette's coattails, I realize that someone's got to work and pay the bills and those sorts of things. So we do appreciate you taking time, Coach, and always enjoy your insight. And we'll be talking to you soon, okay?
Guys, always enjoy being on with you. And Matt, I'm glad you're healthy and back going again.
Hey, thanks, Coach. We'll see you this summer. Appreciate it.
Okay, thanks, guys.
All right, take care. Coach Earl Thomas, former basketball coach at the University of Rio Grande, and a guy who's been around the game for quite some time. Coming up on the podcast, we're going to talk about a few upcoming games that hopefully will take place as the Viking Realm Ball podcast rolls on. Back on the Viking Round Ball podcast, presented by McDonald's. McDonald's and MacArthur Jackson, Oak Hill and Wellston, episode number 85. And don't you dare forget it, Coach Combs. It's 85.
That's right.
It's not 83. It's not 84. It's 85.
We got it.
Jeez. The trouble I got into last week was just brutal.
Yeah, well, I mean, the director's in better mood now. He gets to plow some snow. So he's pretty hyped.
Yeah, the executive producer took his little toy, went and plowed snow.
That's right.
For the better part of, I guess, like 8 to 10 hours.
Al, if I had that toy, I probably would too. That looked like a nice setup here.
I've seen you operate equipment. That wouldn't be good. We'd have to get you like some special insurance coverage.
Yes, exactly.
All right. I know you got practice, so we'll make this brief and short and to the point and get on out of here.
Okay.
Because, practice is going to be extremely critical today.
It's nice to get in the gym.
Yeah, work up a sweat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get out of the house.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, so. And the boys have been here for the entire duration of our taping.
So far, so good. So.
Nothing's been broke. No one's been injured. No blood's been shed.
We hope. Yeah.
And I've got them jacked up on M&Ms.
That's it. Amy will appreciate that.
Yeah. Amy loves me. As far as everyone else knows. Anyhow, upcoming games, real quickly. We mentioned Zane Trace tomorrow night, right. January the 16th. Gary Kellogg's back for his Kellogg is back for what, his second stint at Zane Trace
yeah.
now?
Yeah.
He was at Zane Trace for years.
Oh yeah, back when I played.
Yeah, exactly. So and, you
went
learned
to went to Chillicothe and then
won a state. Yeah.
Yep, and back now at Zane Trace.
He retired there and then he had a stint there for a year up at Logan. And now he's back at Zane Trace.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
You're very familiar with Gary and his system. And, of course, Coach Thomas mentioned, you know, him being one of that circle of coaches that is definitely a program coach. And I guess when you think of Gary's program, system, coach, he is very big on defensive fundamentals, regardless of his teams. What do you expect tomorrow night with Zane Trace?
Yeah, I mean, you know, They're back to his system a little bit that he's always liked, which is, you know, very under control offensively. They don't beat themselves. You know, defensively they're very solid, and you know they don't mind if they need to play in a grinded out slower tempo when it calls for that. There's times they get up and down and run, so they're able to do both. And which I think I said last week's a sign of a good team. You got to be able to win different paces of play, different types of games, but they're just a solid group. They've got a good mixture between seniors and sophomores. They got a really talented sophomore class. They do have a couple seniors still in the mix, so they're off to an 8-2 start. I think they lost to Uniota and Chillicothe, so obviously they've lost two really good teams.
I think the Uniota loss is only like either 1 or 2 points.
It was early in the years. I think it was ended up being a 1-point loss at home for them and at Zane Trace for them, but. Yeah, so they're a good team, good solid matchup. I think it's a good matchup, you know, for both teams. I think this point in the year, both teams are going to get a lot out of this, and you know, I like the way we're playing right now. I don't love everything about it, and you know, if we don't do a couple of the things that better than what we've done, it may get exposed when you play a team like this. So we're going to talk about that today in practice and really try to shore some things up, but. But, yeah, good team, well-coached team, but a team that, will be good for us to play right now at this point.
Okay, that's only a doubleheader tomorrow night.
Yeah, they don't have freshmen. So 6 o'clock, JV start.
Okay, if we have the game, and hopefully we will, and then Friday night hosting the River Valley Raiders in a TVC Ohio League. You got them down at their place. I know they were a strong shooting team, and you've made comments, and they've had some wins, impressive wins this year, so that's not going to be a cupcake by any stretch. That should be a good game, and that is a triple.
That should be a triple-header still, yeah. I think they're still able to do freshmen, and I mean, anytime you have shooters, we've talked about it, and they'll usually put 4 or 5 guys out there that can make a three. And when you do that, you become dangerous. And so, not easy at all. Like you say, they've been up and down. You know, there's been some games where it hadn't went their way, but then all of a sudden you open the paper and they beat somebody.
Exactly.
You know? So, yeah, obviously in this league, the way this league's going this year, you don't take anybody lightly and you make sure you're ready every night. So.
All right. Well, you got practice.
Yeah.
I've heard escalating juvenile voices outside of the studio.
Yeah. So we
got to get out of here.
Yeah, we better rescue your house here.
Or your kids. One of them might be hurt by it now. For Coach Matt Combs, I'm Carl Knox. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Talk to you next time.
You've been listening to the McDonald's Viking Roundball Podcast, presented by McDonald's of Jackson, Wellston, Oak Hill, and now proudly in MacArthur. McDonald's and Viking basketball. I'm loving it. Join us next week for an inside look at Vikings hoops with the head coach of the Vikings, Matt Combs, and your host, Carl Knox, right here on the McDonald's Viking Roundball Podcast.